Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that is said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Again, contact me directly by email. Address is preacher@eastalbertville.org, and East Albertville is one word. There's four questions that are asked in Genesis chapter 3. One we find in verse 9, where God asked Adam and Eve the question, "Where art thou?" You know, in Hebrews 4 and verse 13, it says, "Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do." We're told in Revelation 20 and verse 12, that "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." And Romans 14 and verse 12 says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." So the question is, in answer to "Where are you? Where am I?" is, are we in or out of Christ? In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, Paul said, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." In Galatians 3, we read in verse 26, "For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Then in Ephesians 2, we read in verse 11, "Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Another way we can ask this question is, are you in the broad way or are you in the narrow way? You know, Jesus talked about that in Matthew 7 when he said, "Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth into destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads us unto life, and few there be that find it." Another way of asking the question of where are you is, are you in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, or are you out of Christ? You know, in Colossians 1 and verse 13, Paul said to the Colossians that you have been, that God has delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. But also another question we find in Genesis 3 is in verse 11, when God said, "Who told thee that thou was naked?" You know, we always need to check the source of our information. Who told you? In other words, who told you that baptism has nothing to do with saving? When we can read passages like Mark 16:16, where Jesus himself said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Or the inspired Apostle Peter in preaching the very first gospel sermon after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus said in Acts 2 and verse 38, in answer to the question of men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." And what about what Ananias told Saul of Tarsus in Acts 22 and verse 16, when he told him, "Why tarriest thou? arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. See, the idea that baptism has nothing to do with saving, the source of that has to be from the devil, because it's truly not from God, it's not from the Scriptures, as we have just read. Also, in checking the source of our information, we need to see who is it that told you that one church is just as good as another. When Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church. Is Jesus' church just as good as any other church? In 1 Corinthians 3:11, where the statement is that for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation of the church that Jesus built is Jesus Christ. Is the foundation of churches that men have built just as good as the foundation of Jesus Christ? Or what about Ephesians 5:23? The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Is the church that Christ built, wherein he is the head, from which all information and direction comes, just as good as man-made churches that have councils and conventions and those who sit in authority to delegate the things that the church is to believe and to practice? You know, in Ephesians 1, we read in verse 22 that God has put all things under Christ's feet and has gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So it is then that this idea of one church is just as good as another did not come, does not come from the Scriptures. It does not come from the Lord, but it rather comes from Satan. Who told you once saved, always saved? When 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Who told you that you don't have to attend all of the services of the church? When Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And who told you that your manner of dress isn't important? You know, this is what this question in Genesis 3 was all about. It was a matter of the way that Adam and Eve were dressed. They first were naked, and when they sinned, they realized the shame of nakedness, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. But God was not pleased with the aprons, because Adam still said that we heard you walking in the cool of the evening, and we were afraid, and we hid ourselves because we were naked. And so God proceeded to make them coats or tunics, that is, garments that reach from the shoulders down to the knees. So who told you that your manner of dress is not important when 1 Timothy 2:9-10 says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, and not with braided hair or gold or expensive clothing, but which becometh women, professing godliness with good works. Also in Genesis 3, we have the fourth question that was asked in verse 11. Hast thou eaten? In other words, have you done what I told you not to do? Have you transgressed my law? This is what God is asking when he asked this question. Man had did what God had told him not to do. He had eaten of the fruit that God forbidden him to eat. So that's what sin is. Have we sinned? Well, Romans 3:9 says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. And in verse 23 of Romans 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In 1 John, we read in chapter 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So, really, the question is not, have you sinned? But rather, the question is, what are you doing about the sins that you've committed? You know, some people think that sin that's committed in the past is just somehow going to be forgotten, or maybe we should use the word overlooked, and then they can just, you know, just slip right on into heaven, and all things will be well with them. But friends, if we're not a Christian, we have to hear God's word, because that's how faith comes. Romans 10, verse 17. Without faith, we know from Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it's impossible to please God. And we know that there is only one faith, as Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6 teaches. So again, that faith has to come through or from the hearing and believing of God's word. Then we have to repent of our sins, because faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. So then our faith must be strong enough to cause us to do the will of God. Jesus did the will of God, and God expects nothing less of us than he would of his own son. So Jesus did the will of the Father. We too must do the will of the Father. It was Jesus that said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but it's he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So the will of the Father, in reference to the faith that comes from the hearing of God's word, is that we must repent of our sins. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 32, if you will not confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father which is in heaven. We know from Romans chapter 10 and verse 10 that it is with the mouth that confession is made. And we see examples of that confession that was made with the mouth. The confession that Mary made when Jesus came to raise Lazarus, she said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. When Philip asked the eunuch, did he believe? The eunuch said in Acts 8, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So that's what confession is. It's confessing with our mouth what it is that we believe in our heart, and what we believe in our heart is the result of what we've heard in God's word. And then we'd be willing to be baptized, buried with Christ in baptism, because only when we are buried with Christ are we buried into his death. And it's in his death that his blood was shed. The blood is what saves us, but we come in contact with that blood only in doing according to what God says we must do. So we are buried with him, with Christ, in baptism, where we contact the blood that cleanses us from sin. That's what we have to do in order to become a Christian. If we've obeyed that and yet we sin, then as Simon the sorcerer was told in Acts 8, he was told to repent and pray that if perhaps the thoughts of his heart might be forgiven him. So see, there's only two ways that sin can be forgiven. But you know, it's extremely hard to admit that I have sinned. And then in verse 13 of Genesis 3, he said, what is this that thou hast done? They, of course, had sinned. And sin separates us from God. Friends, we see our time is gone. We appreciate so much you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you back to our announcer.